It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the latest property news every morning on iHeartRadio, Spotify and Apple, and of course, wherever you get your podcast from. Hope your weekend is going well. If you are Christmas shopping, good luck with all of that. Yes, not far away, Christmas, November the 19th today. And coming up this morning, we have the 7 days of real estate. Now, this is a bit of a snapshot look at some of the interviews. And if you want to hear the entirety of the interview, just go back to last week and you will find them. And this week we caught up with Warren Hogan, where we talked about the RBA and unfortunately the more than likely possibility of the rise of the cash rate for next month for December. Jeremy Groban was in. He's an auctioneer. He is talking about his beloved Canberra. Tara Kelly from Brisbane, she's here talking about, well, people fainting at auctions and also how to save as a younger person for that first home. Antoinette Nido talks luxury from Toorak and being a mortgage prisoner. We spoke this week to Anthony Landau, our resident mortgage expert. So that is all coming up in just a moment with our 7 days. If you are turning a year older today, happy birthday for today, November the 19th. Adam Driver is 38, Jodie Foster is 59, and Meg Ryan, she is turning 60 today.
It's the main centre forecast.
All right, let's have a look at the weather. And in Sydney, get out and enjoy the sunshine. Pretty much a perfect day forecast for you. Light winds with 27 degrees. In Melbourne, should be mainly fine. Some cloudy bits, but 23 degrees. And in Brisbane, also mainly fine with 27. And Perth, blue skies once again. And the temperature for you, 31 today.
We dive deep into topics like buying, selling, investing, and maximising your property's value. From mortgage advice to the latest property data and trending numbers, your real estate journey starts here.
And also, you said that if they didn't increase it, you would run down Martin Place where the RBA offices are naked.
Yeah, I was pretty confident we were going to get a rate hike last week, and definitely no one wanted to see me do that. So, you know, maybe it was an idle threat that I was giving the RBA board.
Yeah, also you were saying that over the past 3 years, the RBA's reputation has been somewhat compromised, evident in private sector economists' forecasts, as well as financial market pricing and residential property market behaviour. Failure to raise the rates while core inflation is at 5% would be a significant mistake. Well, they must have been listening to you, Warren, because they did raise it last Tuesday. But you're saying not only on Tuesday did they need to raise it, but they also need to signal a possibility of increasing it again in December for next month.
Yeah. Well, my assessment of the, you know, the run of data, the inflation result of the last, you know, few months is that it warranted probably about 50 basis points worth of tightening. And this must be sort of seen in light of the fact that Australia's interest rate is a lot lower than other countries. And of course, still below the core inflation rate here. We've still got negative real interest rates. Now, whether the RBA's got that same assessment is another thing altogether. And from reading their statement that the governor put out after making the announcement of a rate hike, it doesn't suggest they're in a hurry to back it up. They were quite sort of soft on the guidance, hence why we've seen things like the Aussie dollar come back and bond yields fall. I think it would be dangerous, as I've been warning sort of for the last 3 months, to think that we're at the end. And that really is what the credibility issue is. Over the last 3 months, the RBA, after every meeting, even if they hadn't hiked, would warn that more rate hikes may be required. But most economists were trying to work out when the cuts would start coming. Financial markets struggled to price, you know, much into the future. And of course, here in Australia, particularly on the in the big cities, the property markets just kept going up, sort of giving the RBA the middle finger, if you will. So there's a range of dimensions to it, but they really had to act. It's just ridiculous to be running this sort of level of interest rates when we've got so much inflation and a resilient economy.
What's your thoughts and your thinking around this? Because it's affecting businesses, and you're only as good, I said this the other day, you're only as good as your telco supplier.
Yeah. Well, I'm my business runs off Optus, and I thought I hadn't paid the bill because everything was gone. And yeah, I had four customer engagements, which all could not happen. And more importantly, I couldn't let them know it couldn't happen, but I figured they worked that out. What are the consequences? From an economic point of view, it'll be quite minor. I mean, there's a loss of business on the day, but it'll actually be quite minor. It won't really change anything for the overall trajectory of the economy. But we can't have this happen again for any provider in Australia, and certainly not Optus, because this is core infrastructure for a modern economy, and it will only become more and more important. It also, for me, the other thing it highlights is that you can't get rid of cash. You just cannot, because of these vulnerabilities. So look, it's a wake-up call, I think, for everyone around, especially SMEs, where I spend my time, and I'm obviously a small business myself. But I think most importantly, from a regulatory point of view, this is absolutely core infrastructure, up there with electricity, and probably even more important in the short term than water. The government's already seemed to be quite on the front foot about sort of getting to the bottom of this. And unfortunately, I think the CEO has got to stand down. This is the second event. She has to show some character. She has to let someone else have a go at trying to sort of take the organisation forward.
Get insider tips from industry professionals and level up your real estate game by unlocking the secrets of successful real estate transactions.
One of the great indicators with FOMO is at auction time. So are you seeing any of that in your local market when you're calling these auctions?
Yes, and I've noticed especially the agents who are really speaking with the buyers and helping them with that process, explaining how auctions work, are getting the better results. There's so much involved in the preparation of buyers for those auctions. And you're right, the fear of missing out is certainly a big aspect, because there's such a demand for those entry-level properties. So it's really nurturing through that process and making them feel comfortable, especially to make that first bid and also to get to the level where they need to be to buy the property.
You raise a pretty good point, because I think it's really important with the preamble of an auctioneer, before they get things underway, really just to sort of relax the room, relax outside wherever the auction is taking place, and just to sort of set the rules, which auctioneers tend to do. But the really good auctioneers are the ones that are able to just talk to people that are there and say, okay, this is how we're going to do it. These are some of the points about this property, and just kind of set the tone. Is that something that you sort of look to do?
Absolutely. We do it several times a week, remembering that buyers are doing this maybe once every 7 to 10 years. So it's quite a peak moment for them. So to put them at ease, I always like to introduce myself to the bidders to make sure they're a bit comfortable and just make it a bit more conversational. We're in a very strong market. I did notice that some auctioneers could be a little bit more forceful because there was the competition and it was more of a business transaction, whereas now it's that bit more of a nurturing process to get the bidders to feel comfortable and to sort of get them up to the level we need them to be at.
Absolutely, yes. You know, there's been times where over the last 12 months we've called for an opening bid and there's crickets. However, sort of the last few months, there really has been some purpose in people bidding. And that might be also because people are getting more confident in Brisbane with auction, which is great. I mean, we're definitely behind Sydney and Melbourne with that. The aggression, the confidence and the amount of bids per auction certainly has risen quite substantially.
And of course, last weekend, it was quite hot there in Brisbane. You had somebody faint.
We did have someone faint. It was 34 degrees. It was a 1 o'clock auction. Unfortunately, the excitement got the better of the lady and she fainted mid-auction, which is never good. I do have my first aid certificate. However, someone else got there before me, luckily. So they were able to help the lady and we had plenty of water, cold water to give her, luckily. So she was fine, paused the auction and gave her a seat. So she actually did that. The family did continue to bid. They weren't successful. However, we had a bit of a laugh about it at the end, which was always good.
And what I wanted to ask you is it takes a fair amount of discipline because, you know, if you're a teenager and you start saving for a property and you bought your first property at 19, there are certain things that you just have to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to spend my money on a massive weekend going nightclubbing because that might cost me $200-300.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and from experience, like you said, I bought my first property at 19 and it takes a huge amount of self-control. It certainly comes from, for me, it came from my parents and they also did this at a young age. So I think a lot of coaching from them and a lot of support from them was a good thing. Not in the way of money. I purely saved my own money and paid the deposit myself. So I can certainly relate to Caitlin in that, you know, it takes just such a huge amount of self-control. There's a lot of nights where you're sitting at home and your friends are out and you've just got to bite the bullet and think of the future.
Now, we have teenagers that do listen to the podcast for the amount of information that is being given out. So for that teenager that is saving right now, what do you think is the number one sort of thing to say to yourself along the road of saving? If there's a little bit of a gold nugget, Tara, what would you tell yourself at the age of 16 with what you know now?
You know what? I think looking back, there's more fun to be had when you are financially comfortable and you're a little bit older and able to enjoy the nights out. You know, looking back, seeing that you've already got a footprint in the property market, you've got no stress, less stress, knowing that you've got your foot in the door already. And I tell you what, those nights are a lot more enjoyable than when you're sort of 18, 19 and you're going out and you're on a little bit of a path to nowhere.
Listen to expert perspectives with exclusive real estate conversations and supercharge your knowledge base with us.
The $10 million plus bracket is definitely the best performing segment of the market. The why is a fundamental and basic demand and supply. So the demand for 10 million plus homes is very strong, and 20 million is almost the new normal, whereas a few years ago that was a very significant sale. Coupled with that, you have the supply side is very, very tight. And we've discussed this before on this podcast, but wealthy families sitting on estates with large land holdings and beautiful mansions don't really need to sell. So they may pass it down for generations. So you have these tight supply on one side of the equation and growing demand from expats, from the rise of the, you know, tech entrepreneur, from net overseas migration, and a big, you know, uptick that I'm seeing is the increase in Chinese buyers.
And in terms of just the days on market, like if you compare last year with the days on market to 2023, has that improved? Has that gone down, the days on market in the luxury market where you are?
I think it's a case-by-case basis. It really depends. It's property-specific. We are finding that turnkey properties are in very high demand. Properties that, say, may have some heritage or require renovation are taking a bit longer, but it really is on a case-to-case basis.
In simple terms, what is a mortgage prisoner? And why is this going to be not only an issue right now, but probably an issue into 2024?
Yeah, g'day, Craig. Look, mortgage prisoner is a bit of a headline grab, but it's a real issue for a lot of mortgage holders, and it's got worse. As you touched on, we discussed this topic 3 or 4 months ago now, but the problem is getting worse. Essentially, a mortgage prisoner is someone who can't refinance to a better rate or to a better facility that's more suitable to their current needs because they can't meet the requirements that the banks essentially use to assess their loans, which is typically a factoring in a buffer of 3% on top of the current interest rate. They can also be trapped by negative equity if the housing market falls. That was more of an issue maybe 6 months ago. The market's rebounded again. But essentially, it's where someone's unable to refinance to a better rate because they cannot meet the requirements the banks use to assess loans.
And it's probably fair to say it's a little bit of a confusing time for your customer base, particularly with the fact that the prices have risen. Some would say, well, maybe that's going to make it a little bit easier. So talk to that as well as what are the reasons somebody does get stuck on these higher rates?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and confusion is a good way to put it. You might have a customer who's on a rate of 6.5%, and we say to them, hey, we can get you 6%, for example, but then we say, look, you don't meet the serviceability criteria of the bank, even though you've got a very good credit history, you've never missed a repayment, and we're going to save you a lot of money every month by lowering your rate. So it's a real problem. And the biggest reason people get stuck in that situation is fundamentally serviceability. Essentially, the way a bank assesses their serviceability is they use a buffer on top of the interest rate. That buffer's 3%. The cash rate's gone up 4.25%. So essentially, borrowing capacity's fallen about 30%, meaning some people who have never missed a repayment, who have a great credit history, can't refinance to a lower rate. So it's very confusing and it doesn't make sense.
Unlock the secrets of real estate and stay informed about the latest real estate buzz with hot market trends, emerging suburbs and hidden gems. We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.